Fall camp is only a few days old, and Wisconsin may already be dealing with another major concern on the offensive line, but there's plenty of buzz too. Standouts emerging, battles heating up, and some early surprises. And after getting eyes on the Badgers in person, Nick has plenty to say about what's working and maybe what isn't. Fall camp buzz starts right now. I'm Rajiv, he's Justin. Here we go.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers, ring one up.
And discussion from the fan perspective.
Woo-hoo!
Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Bucky Report. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together on a Sunday evening to talk about all things Wisconsin Badgers on today's show. Fall camp is underway, and we're bringing in someone who's actually been there to help us sort through everything we've heard so far. We'll get into the early standouts, the big position battles, where this roster looks strong, where there may be some concerns, and of course, the latest on the offensive line. We'll separate real camp buzz from the noise and figure out what actually matters after the first few days. You can find the Bucky Report on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. We are part of the Bleed Podcast Network. Follow, like, subscribe, all the fun stuff as we have a push towards football season. We've gone through a ton of content in the last couple months. If you haven't gone back and checked out a lot of stuff, we got all kinds of stuff going on. And we've done a whole host of sort of countdown to kickoff preview shows. Offensive preview is out there for you to check out. Their defensive preview is out there for you to check out. We've got today's our Fall Camp Insider Show. Then we've got Camp Stock Up, Stock Down next week, followed by our penultimate show, which is always preseason superlatives, final camp discussion. And of course, on the 30th, official season predictions, the full preview. The Know Your Foe series has been going great. We've done five of them already. We got Michigan State behind us this week. We got Iowa coming up this coming week. The Big Ten Media Days coverage was a few weeks ago with Nick. That was fantastic up in Chicago. So much stuff going on. I'm on the Bucky Report. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you follow if you're listening to a podcast platform. One more quick thing. If anyone wants to get in touch with the show, send us an email at thebuckyreport@gmail.com. We check that regularly. We'll respond to every message that you send in. If you've got questions, comments, takes, anything that you want to talk about, send that in to that email address. We are 28 days away from kickoff, boys. From the Green Bay game, Lambeau Field against Notre Dame, Justin's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Nick, are you going to be there?
I'm going to be there. You know it.
Nick.
He's Nick's got credentials, of course. He's going to be there.
Yes, he's going to be there.
He just gets to walk in.
You know, it's funny because people have asked me when I go to a game, I don't want to go to a game with my credentials because then I have to have like press box etiquette. I want to cheer. I'm not doing that. Like, I'm going to stand in the stands because I can't be quiet up there like Nick is. But of course, we do have our special guest, which means we do have to play the special guest music.
The Bucky Report proudly welcomes Nick Olson from 247 Sports.
Nick, always a pleasure. 1 week at camp already. First of all, how are you doing? Welcome to the show. Here comes Justin typing away. Big surprise.
I'm doing great. Thank you so much, of course, for having me. As always, we're ready to rock.
Good to have you, my man. It's been a bit. What is it? A couple weeks now since we last saw you?
Yeah. Just a couple weeks. Yeah. I think I saw Rajiv a week and a half ago. We've had the chats active, man. We're ready to rock.
Yeah, I mean, for those that don't know, obviously, I talk to Nick all the time, bug him, you know, through text and stuff like that. We have text chains and stuff, so we keep you guys out of it. You don't get all the insider stuff, all the fun. No, I'm just kidding. We do text back and forth a little bit, but we're kind of talking about some of the stuff that we've seen in practice here over the last several days, and Nick knows I'll reach out to him just kind of to go beyond ask questions here and there, just stuff maybe that he can't necessarily say on the boards or whatever and stuff like that. And you know how it is. But Rajiv, you better?
I think so. Someone let me know if my in the chat if my mic is better. I heard my sound is a little off. Sorry about that.
I think it's clear enough. I heard some popping, but I think it's good.
We've had a litany of tech issues the last couple of weeks, so sorry about that, guys. I'm going to get that fixed. So if my mic sounds better, please someone put that in the chat. That would be helpful. Better mic. Thank you. Yeah, I made some adjustments. I apologize. All right. Here we go, guys. We're getting into it. Let's start here. Before we go position by position, which we're going to do, we're going to go through those. We're going to talk about kind of who's up, who's down, that kind of thing. Nick, I'm going to start with you. And then obviously Justin and I, we're not at practice, but we have both read every single report and listened to every single report that's come out. Believe me, we're well informed on it. And of course, we've been talking to Ryan as well, who was there. I want to quickly talk about, Nick, just overall big takeaways, not necessarily player specific, whether it's coaching, intensity, attitude, like overall, any key takeaways from the general feel and the vibes around camp?
Yeah, for Rajiv, I'll just give two quick ones before we kind of get more into the specifics, positions and things like that. Number one, this is not a surprise, especially with kind of the alphas on the defensive side and just the excitement levels. But Sunday was quite physical. Like for the first day of obviously having pads, we got to talk with, you know, perfect timing with Posa, Catalano after. These guys were ready to hit, and you could tell they were ready for it. So I'd say, as expected, a lot of high energy so far, and frankly, leading up to an enormous season, as we all know. And then just a general takeaway. This isn't new. You know, I've said it from the spring, and I think everybody would really tend to agree, not, you know, overly optimistic or anything. I think that the cornerbacks are the best that Fickell has had here. And I think that the DB room just as a whole is in a really, really encouraging spot.
Yeah, love that. Go ahead there, Justin.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing that I think we all expected. It was going to be a much more physically talented room overall. And I've made them remarks on the Discord for those that have come on there, or even on 247, where I've said, listen, the secondary group, they'll be able to run with anybody in the country. The question is going to be, from a technique standpoint and from a coverage standpoint, how do they hold up? This is not a team that they're a secondary that's going to be overwhelmed with athleticism. It's a secondary where you're going to find out how technically sound they are and how experienced guys are this year, as opposed to last year. I think that we all would agree we were lacking a little bit from a physical talent standpoint. Even if guys had technique, they had to be perfect, because if they did make a mistake, they weren't physically able to make up for it. Some of the guys they have this year are capable of covering up some of the technique lapses at times, simply because of the level of physical talent that's out there.
You know, one of my big takeaways from the whole thing was the athleticism. Everyone seems to be talking about the athleticism, and it's not just about the quarterbacks. It's about across the board. I mean, Nick, you've mentioned that before too. It's nice to see that the NIL budget, that, you know, the numbers have been thrown out there here and there, like, it clearly bought us better athletes, right? And so we should be in a position to actually be successful based on what we're seeing on the field. There's a lot of questions. There's a lot of things we're going to go through. But I do think overall I'm feeling comfortable with the athleticism. And I think that's a really nice touch because, man, do we absolutely need it. Z says Nick is the GOAT. Absolutely. Nick is the GOAT. Honcho's in the house, which is great. Badger Bournemouth fan. A lot of people in the chat. Put any questions that you have in there. We'll try to star them and get to them. So what we're going to do is go through Justin, you've got a comment.
Yeah, I was going to throw something. I was going to ask Nick a question on this real quick before we dive too far into this. My perception of Mateos is that he's a guy who is very technique, like, really pushes that. But he's also one of those guys that if you're not going to be perfect, you better fight either way and get it done as best you can, whatever mistake you do make. Because it feels like that's something that he is very much more. You better be aggressive if you're going to be out there, even if you're not perfect.
Yeah, Justin, I think that's a pretty good read. You know, I mean, he is very, very, very high on, obviously, technically sound, foundational things, but from my understanding, you know, speaking with these guys in interviews or just getting to know people, of course, the last couple of years, I think that physicality and that grittiness, like, that really, really is what kind of matters the most. You know, obviously, you want to have it all, right? Of course, you want somebody to be perfect with those things. But if you're not basically laying your ass out on the line there and just giving everything that you have, I don't see those types of players playing, like, a big-time type of role for Mateos. And I'm not really seeing, you know, that issue so far, but I would tend to agree. And he's got high expectations. He's very much you know, detail oriented, a teacher, and you need these things. As we know, guys, this is not news. The O-line is going to play a huge role in kind of the potential for the season.
All right, let's get into that. We're going to start with offense, and we're going to go through all the positions. And for each one, we're going to start with Nick, because he was actually there. He's going to give his perspective for being in the room. And then Justin and I are going to kind of talk through what we've read about, whether it's from Nick or Ryan or all the many people that we've read that were at camp, and kind of give our perspective on it. So we're going to go through kind of who's up in the room, right? Not necessarily like maybe not just who's stock up, is what's been a good surprise, something positive that came out of your observations of that room. And then maybe a concern that you have. Doesn't have to be specific to player, but maybe it's a depth issue or whatever the case is. And then lastly, anything else you want to cover from that room that you feel like needs to be said. So we'll start with the big one, of course, quarterback, Colton Joseph, my guy, Ryan Hopkins, who everyone's been talking about, which I love. You know how I feel about Ryan Hopkins. There's Deuce Adams. We got a lot of quarterbacks on there. Obviously, the big question, Nick, is Colton Joseph. I've heard varying different kinds of reports this week. Give us your kind of thought, first of all, on Colton Joseph. And then, yeah, anything positive in the room, negative in the room, and any key takeaways?
Yeah, Rajiv, I think, you know, any kind of projections or saying something different than he's been solid, but not perfect. You know, I don't think anything outside of that would be accurate. I think that Joseph has had some really good moments, which I guess I'll touch on here shortly, showing the athleticism, the throwing on the run, a couple great deep shots. You know, I think it's just still kind of getting used to a little bit more timing. Like early in the week, there was an interception. I think it was the right throw. I think it was a fine throw, but it came late. The decision was fine, but I think the read was a little bit late. So just some of the timing, getting consistency down, and then just the room as a whole, you know, there's no question that it is in a much deeper spot. I mean, you're talking about Hopkins, Adams, Joseph, like three I would really, really trust, of course. Carter Smith helped win games last year and, frankly, did have a couple nice, really nice moments the last 2 days. And then Danny O'Neill's still working his way back, of course, but he has started Big Ten games too. So I'm looking for continued consistency as we kind of keep going through camp. But I think anything other than, you know, solid, some high moments, I don't think would be accurate.
Yeah, just a thought on this that I've had from regarding this position. I just to gauge this so that I think people get a better understanding of this. Everyone looks improved compared to the spring, correct?
Yeah.
Which I think that when we look at that, I think that realistically is what people don't understand is that the benchmark or the baseline for what the expectations are in the fall is different than what it was in the spring. This is not like the first couple practices in spring where things were kind of sloppy and disjointed. This is a how clean does it look compared to where we're getting into the fall camp here, where you expect guys to understand where they're supposed to be going, how they should be running things. And now you're getting to the point where you're looking at it and saying, okay, we're looking for consistency. And I, for one, and I think you'd agree with this, neither one of us expects them to be perfect the first couple of days. We expect it to get better going into next week. And then by game week, then they're going to start to narrow down and really start to game plan. You guys, unfortunately, won't be there for that. But I would expect them to be far crisper for that because it's going to really narrow down what the playbook's going to be, and they're really going to start practicing specific things for that game. So I think that, to me, I look at it and it's people are looking for us to say, yeah, this is lights out. This is going to be better. I'm going to tell you right now, none of us truly know until they face somebody that's not Wisconsin, because right now the defense knows what they're doing. And they've been watching. They know what Wisconsin's offense is because they've practiced against it for 6 months. The teams we play in the fall are going to be working on us for a week. And they're going to have to try and be perfect on that based off of that. So even if they were getting manhandled a little bit by the defense, I still don't expect teams to be quite that good against them simply because they're just not that versed in our offense.
I again apologize for any mic issues I've had. I've switched my mic. I'm not using my normal mic. You guys got me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good. Yep, the popping is gone.
All right. So hopefully that's because my sure mic isn't acting up a little bit. So I've switched to my camera mic. So I'm not going to see the microphone in front of me, but nonetheless. I think there's been a lot of stuff written about Colton Joseph this week, up and down. I think ultimately it's a wait and see situation. And the biggest thing that I would say is he's got weapons that we haven't had. Okay. His legs apparently are incredible. He is going to be a game changer. He is going to be a guy that's going to get out of the pocket, break contain, make plays, and he's going to do what he can. I am concerned overall about the passing, but we were always concerned about it because his completion percentage was poor before. Justin, obviously, you've done a lot of research on like his A dot last year and all those things changing. You know, there were reports that he missed some open receivers, but at the end of the day, he is a weapon for us. And I think that when we get into the actual play, look, also remember, we have a good defense. And Justin said this, like, we have a good defense. We know our defense is good. That was proved last year. So let's see how he does against Notre Dame. Let's see how he does against the two cupcakes after that, and we'll go from there. I'm feeling optimistic because he is clearly not afraid to run the ball, and he's breaking contain and running the ball against our defense. Now, of course, we're not tackling him, but I just think that matters, and I think overall I'm happy with what I'm hearing for the most part. Ryan Hopkins, what a story that is, obviously. Like, he's continuing to get the buzz. You know how I feel about him. I love him. I think he's going to be a great pro. I'll tell you my biggest concern is, guys, like, if he doesn't play next year, is he going to leave? Like, I'm worried about that. This is a guy we need to keep. Every single person that I've read anything from has mentioned how good he looks. And that's – I'm pumped about that.
Yeah, what I'll weigh in on that is, and I think we'd all agree, I think he's probably been sold that Joseph has got these first 2 years, but a lot changes if he's truly excelling this entire time. Then you, as a coaching staff, have to truly evaluate how does this look? And so much is going to be dependent upon how Joseph actually looks this season. Because if he's legitimately good to get, you know, or even great, then you can sell that to Hopkins and be like, listen, the guy's one of the better quarterbacks in the conference. We can find some series for you here and there, but we're not going to put you in as a starter. You know, this guy's good. And it's not like we're holding you back. Whereas if he's middling or solid, then you can start to make the argument that maybe they need to look at him and say, we need to find out what you are a little bit more, maybe get you a little bit more time in the game, or even open it up to a QB competition in the spring. That's a long ways off. I'm super glad to hear that Hopkins has been really good, and hopefully he continues to see that. And I think this, no matter what, is helpful to Joseph to have people kind of breathing down his neck if they're playing well behind him, because it means he has to continue to play at a high level.
Yeah. Mitchell says, I feel comfortable with the floor Joseph brings. I feel like the very least he's got the athletic tools to get out of trouble. Snodden says, who is QB2? As far as I'm concerned, it's Ryan Hopkins, but Nick, I'm guessing it's still Deuce Adams.
I think that is one of the truest of battles, guys. I mean, quite honestly, they're treating it as such. I think generally it looks like it. It's sometimes, you know, Hopkins is starting a series ahead of Adams, and then they switch back. So, like, the reps are pretty fair. I would probably say Hopkins has been the more consistent one. I mean, throwing, he's been one of the most consistent on the entire team. Adams had some really good moments Sunday. Somebody asked me on the boards, you know, what would you give the percentage of Hopkins being the two week one? I would probably say it's greater than 50% as of right now. Like, I do think that he probably has a real shot at that edge, but they're treating it as a battle, Rajiv. And I think both guys have had their moments, but just when you think, you know, consistency, some of the long-term value even with Hopkins, I'm not sure if you'd necessarily be able to sell sitting 2 years, just kind of, you know, with some conjecture and thinking ahead, just being quite honest.
Yeah, and I think if you think he's legitimately a star as a coaching staff, you make the tough decision there. And I think that right now, I think we know the coaching staff loves him. So they'll make that decision when they have to make it, if it's necessary. Mm-hmm. But as of right now, I don't anticipate it. Bo Dragon here is saying, Joseph was supposed to be an alpha, you better start impressing. He is impressing. Like, I feel like so many people are looking for, like, hearing he's solid to good and taking that as he stinks and everyone else in there. The quarterback room is just good overall. Like, I'm just going to be blunt with that. There is nobody in that group of three that people are looking at and saying, yeah, this guy's not up to snuff. I think the coaching staff would even say, if we had to prep somebody for a week for game, they'd feel pretty good about that situation and that they'd be able to get solid reps out of whoever in a game.
All right, let's move on to the offensive line. Certainly, it's been on my radar for a long time. You've heard me say on the show that the depth is always a bit of concern for me. I've said it, and I will continue to say it.
Nick, give us the latest on the reported Kevin Haywood day-to-day injury. What can you tell us about that, and how serious do you think it is?
Yeah, we're good to, you know, talk about it a little bit because obviously it's out there. Day-to-day, what I'm comfortable saying, you know, kind of on the public spot with my boys here is I do think day-to-day is fairly accurate. You know, I don't think that's one of those just blanket statements. I'm not expecting them to just throw him back and rush him into anything, if that makes sense. But I do not have, just trying to be, you know, consistent and considerate here, I do not have large long-term concerns over this, if that makes sense. You know, it was
that's
not
what I was hoping you were going to say. Yeah.
It was not close to, you know, without getting into too much, it's not close to in the vein of the unfortunate injury that happened last year. You know, it is not trending in something like that. I've certainly still been in good spirits. He's been around practice. Obviously, you know, he was joking around with Emerson Mandel on Saturday. I just saw that. And I think that he will be generally okay long-term.
Yeah, I'll say something because I know Nick is limited with what he's supposed to go out with. From what I have heard, it's not the knee. So just to make people feel a little bit better, it does not. It's not like he's wearing a knee brace or anything like that at practice. So don't worry, it's not the same injury or anything like that. I think he's just a little dinged up, and they're just trying to make sure that it doesn't turn into something bigger by having him practice on it when, you know, he's a big dude. When you have a guy who's 300+, you need to make sure that foundation is strong. And if something's not quite right, you don't want to go into the season with a guy who's got a lame leg because it's only going to get worse. We saw it actually. Mandel was one of those where he last year we found out he had a high ankle sprain for a lot of the season. And that is a significant detriment to a lineman who's trying to shift around and move back and forth laterally. So, I mean, these are things that people need to understand. They're doing the best they can. Haywood's been the best offensive lineman from what I've heard in camp, you know, spring and fall so far overall. And if that's the case, you don't mess with that. Like, you feel confident that he's going to be good this year. Don't force it just because you want to squeeze a few extra reps out of him. I think that he's going to be good either way. So don't take the risk of potentially losing him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that. I think that you have to be cautious during fall camp. Our good friend Kevin Brown says, I'm concerned that Haywood's body is breaking down and he will never contribute at Wisconsin. Here's what I would say about this. Like, Justin, I agree. He is the best offensive lineman. He clearly has been in camp. But the other thing that I've heard consistently from many people is that we can't lose anybody on that line. Like, our tackles have to remain healthy, which is what I've been saying for months. Like, if our tackles go down, we are kind of screwed. Now, listen, we've got Simmons back there. We've got some depth, but we had a depth issue last year, and we look like we may continue to have a depth issue. If Haywood plays and if Wilkins plays, then I think we're fine, right? Like, I think that starting group is okay. But if we talk about how good Haywood is, we talk about how strong he is, but we actually haven't seen him that much out there, and he needs to actually play. And that's what I'm just hoping happens. Like, I am concerned that if someone goes down, I don't know how we are going to produce the point totals that you and I have talked about, Justin, and produce the offense that this team is desperate for. But I'm concerned about the line. I'm just going to be very clear. I am concerned. I'm glad that Kowecki looks like he's playing well, but it sounds like if Ryan also said, look, if Kowecki gets hurt, that's a problem. Nick, what are your kind of overall, well, that's true, but ultimately, like, we've had injury problems and we need to make sure that we can guard someone against that, which was the goal of bringing in a lot of backup offensive linemen. Nick, your thoughts on this discussion and kind of the line overall there.
Yeah, I think just to add on what you guys said about Haywood, I think Kowecki's been fantastic. I don't think anybody would kind of be going against that. He's been, as advertised, a verbal leader on the side as well. From what we can tell, look, I think the depth, it's a touch better than last year. But, I mean, you guys are right that you certainly want that top 5, 6, 7 at the most guys to be able to really stay healthy. I think a diamond in the rough type that, you know, has been mixing in and getting some reps with the ones along with Blake Cherry is Styles Blackman. I think he appears to be a really nice eval from Eric Mateos. I think that these are going to provide valuable reps for somebody like Lucas Simmons, you know, opposite Wilkins right now. I do think long-term he has real potential. But you guys are absolutely right. You really would like to see that core five or six just be able to stay together and play, like you said. Like Haywood, we've seen it in practice. We know, obviously, his great pedigree, why he was recruited by everybody in the country, nearly five-star rating. He was phenomenal all spring. And I just think it's unfortunate for the line and the kid because he's become a big leader and done everything right. But you get him back soon. Mandel's working his way back. I do think that top six will be good.
Yeah, I think it's interesting looking at this because, number one, we're practicing. We started without Mandel. And so Cherry's effectively being viewed as a starter. I think your guard depth you actually feel really encouraged about because you're probably four deep there if Mandel comes back and is ready for the first game. And that is great. It sounds like Corey is taking strides. I know Ryan said he was far more consistent yesterday with the snapping. I don't know. Did he look pretty good today? Was he able to?
He did. He did. Like, you know, I mean, I agree. I was sitting next to our guy, Ryan. You know, of course we were talking. Of course you want the,
you're just shaking his head.
the veteran center to obviously be okay. But I think that, you know, Corey was better Sunday. And I think that his blocking has been pretty good. He's growing with the center spot, I would say. But obviously you'd love to see Kowecki be the guy all season.
I would just say this before we move on from the offensive line. I've said this before, and nothing drives me more crazy than hearing about stupid snapping issues. And let me tell you why. I have the pleasure of being an Indianapolis Colts fan, as many of you know, and I've seen every snap of Bortolini when he was at Wisconsin and Bortolini since he's been in the NFL because he is the Indianapolis Colts starting center. And you know what happened when he was at Wisconsin? He had some snapping issues. Do you know what happened in every single snap he's taken in Indianapolis? Every one has been perfect. Do you know why that is? Because it was coached. It was fixed. I don't buy any of this nonsense. I don't know. I don't care who the offensive line coach is. I don't care who the offensive coordinator is. I don't care who the head coach is. We need to fix that nonsense. I do not want to hear about bad snaps consistently. Now, occasional bad snap, of course that's going to happen. But it doesn't need to happen on a consistent basis. That's a problem that other teams take care of through coaching or whatever it is that they take care of. It is inexcusable, in my opinion, to have bad snaps. Inexcusable.
So I'll just say quickly on this. It sounds like the last 2 days he's been much more consistent and better. It was basically, keep in mind, we're in practice four. So he's had like one bad day. He's had one bad day. Let's relax. Hopefully he got it out of his system and let's let it roll here. But, you know, I get it. I can totally understand being frustrated with it. We obviously want to feel like we can rely on him to have that down. Because ultimately what it comes down to, I don't care if he has to cross body block whoever's in front of him once he snaps the football. But just make sure the snap is there before, you know, anything else. Like, that's the most important part. Because if you rifle it over the quarterback's head or under his legs, then you've got a far bigger problem than whether you got your block.
It just drives me crazy because Tanner Bordellini is such a great center in the NFL, and how many snap problems did he have at Wisconsin that apparently couldn't get solved until he met with one guy in Indianapolis and said, okay, we're going to fix this. Anyway, I digress. Let's move on to running back Nick.
I'm not sure I knew about that he's your starting center, Rajiv. I actually am not sure.
He's our
starting, but yeah.
Starting center in Indianapolis. He's awesome, by the way. He is an incredible center in the NFL. Nick, Abu Sama, Darien Dupree, Juju Pope, that whole room. Tell us about the running back room. What's that? Who's up? Kind of what's the high point in that room? What's the concern that you have, if you have any, and then overall takeaways?
Abu's been terrific. You know, I think that we waited a little bit to see that throughout spring. He was a little dinged up. You saw it in the last week and a half, 2 weeks of spring, but I think it was Friday and Saturday of this week. Sama was terrific. I mean, explosive. I think he's grown with his vision throughout his career. Guys, this is the guy that I've covered since he was 16 years old at Southeast Polk in Iowa from the Iowa State days. So really, really impressive. I think that, you know, obviously all the running backs are going, you know, battling right now, going through things, battling for reps. If there is a bell cow, like I do think he's the one that's trending that way. I don't think that's going to shock any of you guys, but there's talk about a bell cow this week. I think he'd be the one. I think that one running back that I feel has actually been probably better than advertised, and even Coach Everett talked about how the jump he's made since spring is probably Brian Jackson, the USC transfer. I think that he will absolutely play a role. Dupree, I think, brings some of that obvious value as a pass catcher. And I'll note, because I want you guys to be up on everything, even Nate Palmer actually got a couple of reps with the top group on today, Sunday. I think that was obviously, really kind of by design with some of the plays and things, but still worth noting. But the guys, at the top are kind of the first three I'd say mention.
From Shotten here, better than Dylan Jones for Abu. Let me put it this way. I don't think Nick even needs to answer this. Abu is better than anybody that we've had since Braylon. Like, I think we would feel confident if we had to say who's going to get 1,000 yards in this room. I mean, he had 700-plus last year on 140 carries. Like, if the offensive line can block at all.
In a true 1-2 punch type backfield, Carson.
Yeah. So I think, legitimately speaking, I think 1,000 yards is a very attainable goal for him this year. If he's going to be a 60% guy, 1,000 yards should be the goal. And if he's really good, he might even be able to get a little bit higher than that. But I absolutely think that he's a guy that can carry that room. And it sounds like it's a very deep room after the first week.
Yeah, I'm feeling super positive about this group. Just in general, I think that, obviously Abu Samba is the real deal. Darien Dupree blocking has been apparently fantastic, which he's always been really good at blocking. But to have that third down back situation, a guy, the ability to protect Joseph, that's a really good skill. I love hearing about Juju. I love hearing about Nate. I just think that the room is in a really good spot. And if the O-line can do what they need to do, I mean, we heard Jeff Grimes and his media availability say that, we got away from power running at this school. We're going back to that. Like, clearly that's a focus, and that's every coach will have said that along the way. We're going to be a running football team again, and we have the running backs to do it. I think we've got the starting O-line to do it too, but that's exciting. And I love seeing Wisconsin run. I love seeing those, like, that smash mouth football, because you frustrate the living crap out of the defense when you do that. When people did it to us the last couple of years, nothing was frustrating more. Like, it was awful when you give up like 7 yards on first down, and on second and three, you give up six more. It's demoralizing. We're going to do that to teams this year, especially with the threat of running from Colton Joseph. So now you can have read options and all kinds of stuff where the defenses have to prepare for what Colton Joseph can do. That's going to open things up for the running backs.
I was just going to say, it gets very difficult for you to crash the ends to the middle of the line if you have a quarterback that can break the edge. And it sounds like that's a major focus part of the offense too, is he has the option to pull it in a given situation if somebody chooses to dive downhill. So that is a big deal for this offense. That is going to be a factor in how good the running game looks this year, and I think it's going to be a big part of keeping teams honest and making them have to play us straight up on the defensive line.
One of the issues that we've talked about, that has been written about all week, is the passing game, right? So let's talk about the pass catchers. Let's start with tight ends before we move on to receivers, Nick. Take us through that a little bit. What are some ups, some downs, and your overall takeaways from the tight end room?
Yeah, I might even slide them right into each other a little bit, Rajiv. Just there's a reason for it. But, I think that, honestly, the tight end room has been solid, but I think it's been a little bit less, maybe oriented through Jacob Harris than I might have expected coming in really to the week. Obviously he's been running with the ones. He's been a notable player in the passing game, but I've seen Emmett Bourque out there, nearly as much, like not quite, but he is absolutely going to play. I know he's somebody we were all high on. Justin smiling with pride there. Obviously Grant Steck deep in that mix. He had one of the best really touchdown grabs on a great throw from Colton Joseph on Saturday that, the social account was pumping out. So that's what I'd say about tight end. I think blocking-wise, they've been pretty positive. I actually think that's something we'll speak with Nate Letton next week, but just watching the coaches and things from the side, he's been happy with the physicality. And then, look, as much as, friends in the chat, like Bo Dragon and such, like to say everything is, positive for me. Haven't been following reports or anything really the last year or so then. I think that one area I was looking for a little bit more from the spring has been separation from the wideouts. I do think that is an aspect that is frankly still coming along.
However, what I will say, and this is why I'm going to defend Joseph a little bit and some of this stuff coming in the passing game, he's making those tight window throws. Hopkins, Adams, they all were on Sunday. And I don't think the wideouts had a single drop the last, like, say, 3 hours of practice. I think Hilton is really becoming who we think. And then if you guys have followed, obviously, Malachi Coleman, somebody that, you know, with his size and speed, often those guys are hit or miss. He put it all together Sunday. Now, it obviously has to be stacking days. You got to see what this room looks like. There's no question the two vets are going to play key roles. But he brings a different element, guys. So, again, you have to keep that consistent. You have to do it in the ones. But at 6'5" and a half with his speed, there's not another player like him in the room.
I want to just I'll go here before Justin on this. I like it. Let's combine these two rooms. I know Justin's going to talk about Emmett Bourke. I'm going to just leave that alone because he loves Emmett Bourke. Yeah. But, like, I think the room is clearly very solid in the tight end room. But the receiver thing, I'm glad you brought it up, Nick. It's certainly something that I've heard from multiple people as well. The separation isn't there. But, again, Hilton, you know, certainly was a guy that I've been high on for a while. It does sound like he took a bit of a step, which I had heard from some sources prior to camp. And I mentioned on this show, I think he's going to be the guy. I want to ask you about DiMaggio, Nick. I haven't heard a lot about him. How has he looked?
Yeah, that one's interesting because we were all talking a lot about him in the spring. And I remember that last two practices, I think it was like a Thursday and a Saturday. He had a big day in the scrimmage. And I thought, hey, maybe he's going to be a 1A, 1B type of guy. And I'm not sure if, you know, Hilton just had a phenomenal summer because he's looked better than the spring. I'm not sure. I mean, like it said, 4 days, basically just 3 days in because not too much live on day one. So maybe they're just still figuring out reps, Rajiv. But I would say I've seen more just not even just consistency, opportunities for guys like Brooks, Henry, Hilton, and seemingly Coleman as of now. That's just what we got to see. I mean, Coleman was dinged up on the back end of spring. So that's been a process. But, you know, he's been – I will say this about DiMaggio. He's caught just about everything thrown his way, and he's been kind of a go-to, whether for Joseph, Adams, or Hopkins, in that intermediate range. But I'm not seeing maybe as many deep shots for him or things opened up quite as much as we saw back in April, May.
And we'd have to also note that Rigby's been limited – so he's, I did get in there today, but obviously that's another piece to that room that will come back in. I heard some mixed things about Coleman myself. I heard some positive, some negative. So we'll see how that kind of progresses next week. Justin, your thoughts on these two rooms?
Yeah, I'll start wide receiver first here. I think Coleman, the thing like with him is just like Nick said, he had a really good day today. We have got to see him consistently do it. Out of the guys that I watch when I watch them route running, he's the one that seems to struggle with fluidity a little bit more than the other guys. He has all the physical tools in the world, but I don't know if he's the most fluid guy in terms of route running. And so you're looking at him as a little bit more of a big athlete. And the thing with him is always going to be, for me, how crisp can he be? If he can be crisp with his route running, it's going to make a world of difference for him because he has tools, obviously, that a lot of the other guys in that room don't have.
If I could just – yeah, no, keep going, Justin. Just a question when you're done.
Sure. I think Hilton to me is the guy who he's stacked. It's I think every day so far he's been the best receiver in that group. Brooks sounds like he's done some good things. Rigby is the one that I'm looking at because I think if you're Coleman, he's the guy that you need to be most afraid of, because if there's another guy who's going to be that big deep threat, it's going to be Rigby because he's the guy that has similar size, not quite that level of speed, but is probably a little more refined and experienced. So he's a guy that you need to be afraid of if he gets healthy here. And that's where you're looking at another guy who potentially gives you another deep option when you look at the receivers. I think Hilton's a little bit more of kind of that jack-of-all-trades wide receiver where he's got a little bit of everything he can do. And Brooks is a little bit more of a possession guy. So the two big guys, like, the world is their oyster right now for Coleman and Rigby for an opportunity to be that guy that blows the top off the defense. Guys like Cash Brock and Legree and Thibodeau aren't. That's not the expectation for them. It's just get your legs right and everything and be ready to go next year.
Kearney too, kind of similar to some of the guys you mentioned. I was just going to ask Rajiv, I would just be curious what maybe some of the not so positive about Coleman kind of have been, because he wasn't, you know, nobody's been perfect every single day, but like the last day and a half, I felt like it was all positive. I think he was the leading receiver. He caught every ball thrown his way Sunday. So I would just be curious. You know, I think the only thing for me is he has to do it with the top group. That's obviously going to earn you the game reps. Justin, you do make a great point. Obviously, those measurables don't always turn into, hey, the exact routes. But he was nothing short of great Sunday. Yeah. It's just about stacking days. And yeah, you guys hit it pretty well with Brooks, too.
Yeah, so to be fair, it was really day one and two with Coleman that it looked that it, I heard that he just wasn't really – he just didn't look like he was really that, you know, whether or not engaged, but the route running wasn't clean. I did also hear that the weekend was better. So I'm just curious to see how it happens next week. Because, mm-hmm. look, Coleman was a guy that really wasn't on my particular radar as one of the top two lines. So if he's someone who can step out of this and separate a little bit, that could be great. Like, we need all the help we can get, clearly, because you mentioned at the top of the show, separation from wide receivers isn't there right now. So if we can get that, that's, you know, that's big. Let's flip to the, oh, yeah, you want to add something?
Yeah, I just want to talk tight ends here real quick, which is, I think what we're seeing from camp this first week is that they have options. And I think they're trying to figure out who fits best. I think that there's going to be a spot for everybody. I think there's a lot of variation in packages that they can mess with some things. I wouldn't be shocked to see them go three tight ends. I wouldn't be shocked to see them go two tight ends with a lot of what they have here, because I think from a receiving standpoint, at least, they feel good about everybody. It seems like everybody's been pretty good blocking, and everybody has the size to really function within this. To me, Bork is just the guy that feels like he's the biggest seam stretcher out of the group. And I think that ultimately that's where I look at him, is he's got the most flexibility. Like, you can just do more with him.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, listen, I know how much you love him. We all know that. Okay, let's flip to the defensive side of the ball. We'll start up front, and then we'll go to the linebackers, both outside and inside, and then finish in the secondary.
Let's throw Doc's question up here before we jump to the defense.
Okay. Doc says, question, are the wide receivers and tight end getting separation in 1v1s and not getting separation in 7v7 and 11v11 when the DBs know the formations and routes that correspond to those formations? Nick, what are your thoughts on Doc's
question? That's a great question from Doc. Obviously, somebody we all really enjoy, and yes, certainly getting it in 1v1s. And that's why, you know, I'm not sounding the alarm or anything like that. Noted it as just an area for growth. And like I said, I think Sunday – it did look even better, especially namely Hilton, Henry, Coleman to an extent. I, like I said, he made some great contested catches. I think Henry's somebody that generally can do it with his speed. I think that it's certainly coming along. And something about Coach Adi Confessor is he's a technician, you know, similar to what we talked about with Mateos. That's what he's known for. So I think it's certainly a spot that will continue to come along. And that's why, you know, I said on my video and wrote today, guys, that this was no question the best day for the wideouts so far. And that's why everything, you know, good, bad, or indifferent this early should be taken with a grain of salt each day. And why I'm not one to project and do a bunch of, you know, prognosticating. Now, if we're talking about these same things a week before Notre Dame, we'll see. But my biggest thing, I should have said this earlier, Rajiv, I'm sorry. But you asked about general takeaways. I was telling you guys right before, I should have said it live on air. If I was a coach on either side of the ball on Sunday or special teams, I think it would have been a perfect practice. And I'm not telling you everybody was perfect. I'm saying there were enough positives on both sides, or, all right, guys are getting used to this. I love this. But also, we got the chance to talk with some of the players, and it was like, all right, the offense got us here a few times. We can grow in this, if that makes sense. That's coming from Hosa, Catalano themselves. So I think it was a great first live practice. There are those areas to grow. And Shamar Rigby, I think when fully healthy, will be in that mix. I will just add that. I think he's more polished than some of the guys.
Right. I think Confessor is going to be really good for this team, by the way. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the question, Doc. If you want to give us any other good news, Doc, feel free to throw us that. We're always looking for that. You know what I'm talking about. Let's move on to defense. We're getting on the show. Defensive line, let's start there. Nick, obviously we've talked about the size and the depth in that room. What have you seen so far from the guys up front?
So the defensive line is a spot that I was kind of following what I saw really, as well as some of what Coach Mike Trestle said at the end of spring. he said they're getting there. I think the exact thing was there's still room to grow to get to what they had last year, right? Obviously, man, it's funny, you know, people are saying during the year, maybe not big names and things. I think three guys from that line are currently in NFL camps, if I recall correctly. So developed very well. We've known that about EJ Whitlow, and obviously love what's coming from Doc there on all accounts. I would say somebody that has, frankly, guys, I wasn't seeing as much as maybe some of my colleagues in the spring, and now you'd have to be blind if you're not seeing it, Charles Perkins. He has taken a lead. And it's not shocking because we all saw it his first spring. I think he got dinged up last fall and then just maybe wasn't fully there. So he's been really good. Obviously, Russell in his role about what we expect. Poised or solid. Somebody that you will probably see play is Nolan Bills. Whitlow just loves him. The guy's just a worker. And then I'm curious, you know, kind of how the rest of the room shakes out, Rajiv. So I think depth. You always want that. That's a spot. These guys are huge. They're moving around a lot. They're physical. So I know that's what the staff loves. But, yeah, if I had to give not only a surprise but also a star, man, it'd be Perkins. I heard all these great things in the offseason, taking on a verbal role, busting his tail in the weight room. He looks legit, guys. He looks really good.
Yeah, I've also heard it sounds like Dylan Johnson got moved his way into some first team reps a little bit today too.
Yeah, first and second, but has made the most of his reps, yeah. You bet.
So there's some depth there. There's some guys that they feel, I think, they have some versatility with, and they have enough there that I think they feel confident they can keep guys fresh, which honestly is what we're looking for. Do you have enough bodies that people aren't going to get worn down over the course of a game? And I think that, honestly, we'd agree with that they probably do. I think they probably – listen, we're not here in Outponu or something and having to rely on a true freshman, you know, defensive lineman. And it sounds like Scott has actually looked pretty good coming out of spring. So they're getting a lot of depth in terms of big bodies in there. But they're not having to rely on these young guys just to get bodies in. Which is important because you need to have guys that can, if you're going to be a tree stump in there, you need to understand leverage and how teams are going to attack you. And that's just where some of those young guys just aren't going to be ready for it.
If Badger fans have thoughts and dreams of winning 7 or 8 games, which I know we all do, trenches is where it has to get done. Mm-hmm. And I had concerns about the D-line earlier, but that's sort of been over time. I felt pretty good about it. Guys like Poyser and Perkins and Russell, and I think this room is in a pretty good spot, and what I've heard and what I've read and people I've talked to, like, I think we're going to be able to shut down. Justin's very happy because I've been on this train for a while, but now I'm still on the other side. We already talked about the O-line. I have plenty of concerns on the O-line, but yeah, I mean, I think this defensive line is in really good shape, and Greg Lincecum asked, could you see the huge 4 defensive line against primary running teams? Absolutely you can. You can bring Michael Garner in there, and there's so much versatility, flexibility, anything you want to say with this D-line.
Well, that's the thing.
We've got size, we've got speed, we've got all kinds of different things. Go ahead, Nick.
No, Rajiv, I was smiling in that I was going to take what you said into Greg's question to just kind of this next aspect. Another guy, I'm kind of jumping into this hybrid spot, right? Mike Garner. I think a lot of people forgot about him in the spring. Because he started off pretty well, I think was dealing with some injuries and such. So now you've got, you know, this group. I see a comment here. You got Justice. Okay, you got the interior guys we said. You have Mike Garner, and that's not even talking about the pass rushers. I think Fearbree kind of in the middle of those roles with his body type, which I think is really good. So I'm jumping a little bit to edges, Rajiv, which I think we were going to next. But yeah. In the vein that these guys have more to work with than I may have expected coming in, even. Who knows what, you know, individual production is going to look like. I think it's certainly going to be more by committee like we saw on the D-line last year, which helped them have a top 15 to 20 run defense, top 10 for the first few weeks. So I think that is what these guys like. I know that Mitchell and Whitlow are very, very close, you know, within the game and outside of it. They've coached together for a long time. But if I could come up with 4 or 5 names that, hey, maybe you didn't think this guy was going to do as much, Mike Garner's in a really good spot. He you can't teach that size, guys, 6'6" and a half, think like 315, 320. He moves well. He's mentally in a really good spot. It sounds like he shared with us his mentality So I just I love some of those options coupled with Cheeks as a pass rusher. I know Justin's maybe all-time favorite guy we've ever talked with, Nick Clayton, and just some of these guys coming together. There are options.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a far more package-driven defensive group than what we've seen in the last few seasons. I wouldn't be shocked to see a starting defensive line be Justice Boone, Hammond Russell, Perkins, and then have Cheeks on the opposite side. I wouldn't be surprised to see Garner in there, you know, and if you go against a team like, say, Iowa, you might have Garner on one side and a guy like Fearbury on the other, who's a little bit bigger. They can go really big if they want to. Like, they're not going to be – there's no team that we will play this year that can put a offensive line out there that is going to be able to outsize what we can throw out there on the defensive side. And we have so many options in terms of what we can do. We can go light if we want to against a team that likes to get more spread heavy, where you play Cheeks on one side, Clayton on the other, or something interesting like that. But you have a lot of options in terms of flexibility and things you can do to be able to look at the defensive side of the ball on the front seven to really do some things to have versatility that we haven't had the last few years, where we've had to rely heavily. Like last year, Reiger wasn't coming off the field. He was going to play. They didn't feel comfortable putting somebody else in there out there instead of him. That's very different this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really feeling pretty good about this. And as far as the pass rush goes, I think this is going to be one of those questions early on. Are we going to be able to – how are like Clayton and Cheeks, Fearbury, and these guys going to look against Notre Dame's offensive line? That's going to be a true test of how good they really can be. How are they going to look against Penn State, against Michigan State? I think that if there's enough talent, there's enough speed, there's enough athleticism, and we're pretty happy with the coaching we're getting out of Whitlow, Mitchell,
and
that group.
Very.
So I feel like I'm very bullish on our pass rush. I'm very bullish on our D-line in general. I'm bullish on the defense, as you know from our over-under show. Like, I think we're in a pretty good spot. You know,
could we snag our guy Honcho's question? I'm happy to take that.
Yeah, I was going to get to it right after. Yeah, I was going to get to it. Yeah, I mean, I think that like, my point is that I'm happy with what I'm seeing. I don't have while I have concerns about other rooms, I don't have concerns about this one per se, including whether it's inside interior or on the outside. Good friend Honcho says, "Is Jalen Williams flashing? He was such a big get at the time. Is he behind Clayton, Nick?"
He is flashing. I think that Honcho, I think he's still just coming along in terms of just getting a little bit more used to kind of playing at that size. And obviously, you know, we learned a little bit from Coach Mitchell this week. I think it's not about, I think he said, being great sometimes, but being good to really good all the time. I think he's just getting used to having more responsibilities. I think he's right, probably on the edge in terms of kind of that top group that we mentioned. But is he flashing? Absolutely. And he certainly was a big get and still has that potential, that ceiling. But I think the consistency and getting used to, you know, the great point that Rajiv made as well, just playing against guys of this stature all the time is certainly kind of a competition going forward.
He's on the boundary side too, isn't he? Like, he's playing with the
boundary. Generally, yeah.
I was going to say, he's not really fighting with Clayton. Clayton's fighting with Fearbury and Cheeks. But I think they're going to use him wherever they feel like they can play him against in certain situations. Like, I wouldn't be shocked to see both Cheeks and Clayton out there in a 3rd and 8 just because that's so much burst off the edge. He's fighting with Boone and Garner, who are both looking like they're going to be really good this year. So I think the expectations there is you hope that you can maybe have some of these games where you can sneak him in late, but I wouldn't anticipate him to be a major part of the rotation this year quite yet.
Let's move on to the back half a little bit. Talk about the inside linebackers, Nick. Obviously, we know about Poston Catalano. I want to ask you about John Kamara, a guy that clearly has been getting I've read a lot of things about him, heard a lot of things about him. Seems like the coaches really want him to play, and rightfully so. What did you see out of him? We know it. Tell me about all the guys, but specifically I want to hear what you have to say about Kamara.
Yeah, I'll start with John. I think you framed that pretty well, Rajiv, that I do think he's one that the staff would love to get in the mix as much as possible. I think from my understanding, especially speaking with the other guys in the room today, John's playing a little bit of a unique spot, that hybrid/X spot, really is what it's looked at. And then it's like Sam, Will. So I think that he's actually maybe stood out to me the most with just kind of some of his coverage in space and the way that he's able to stick with some of these faster guys. I think that that's something that was valued and probably looked at as an addition to the room. I'm just curious how many of these, you know, whether it's 3LB packages or just kind of sub packages that they will be able to work him in with, just because of the guys that we've mentioned, whether at inside or outside, just in total. But he's been good, Rajiv. You know, obviously, the stars in the middle. And then one player that just from a coverage standpoint, as well as a human standpoint, that I think it's hard not to be happy for is Tommy Heiberger. You know, he's dealt with a lot of tough injuries, obviously decided to come back even in a room that you knew what type of talent was at the top. And whether it's subbing in at times or being even like the backup X type, I mean, he plays multiple spots now from what we've heard from the players as well as Coach Borland. They're really happy with where he's at. So I think that's a spot. I think Justin said it about, you know, a top four and maybe the defensive line and the guards. I think it's also inside linebacker. You can trust a group. And it's just been nice to see him making plays after, obviously, what he's dealt with.
Yeah, I think I find it interesting because I know they're calling, like, I don't know what they call their default formation, but it sounds so close to like a traditional 4-3 where we just don't call our edges like the normal, like, defensive end position. Like, you have Cheeks as a rush end, and then you have your elephant end, and then you have three linebackers. And that's what it sounds like to me we're going with three linebackers. It's like, okay, you're letting one guy roam a little bit, but effectively it's three linebackers. Like, you're playing a 4-3 and just calling it something different, which is fine. I don't really care one way or the other. But from formationally speaking, like, I think the way we look at this, we have four guys that we feel really good about there, and I think they're all interchangeable to a degree, which is probably different than what a lot of teams would do with a 4-3. We have guys that are basically across the board capable of playing any of those three spots. And I think that is a big deal. I think you have some tremendous athletes that are going to be running around in that linebacker room, and they all have been productive so far in the first 4 days, which leads us to believe, you know, you're going to keep those guys fresh. Number one. Number two, you're not going to have to rely super heavily on Posa and Catalano to just kill themselves out there on the field, which I think we'd all agree. These guys are going to be playing their first full season with the snaps. Spell them where you can so that these guys are still fresh at the end of the year, because I do worry about that a little bit. Like, they're tremendous players. That being said, they're still like what a redshirt freshman would be, and that's asking a lot for these guys to come in there and just – especially with the numbers they were putting up in such short time last year. Like, we're talking about, you extrapolate that out to the course of an entire season, you'd have probably from Catalano and Posa 110, 120 tackles. That's a heavy usage season. That's a lot of impacts. And if you can sneak these other guys in there to kind of dispel them here and there to reduce that a little bit, it'd be great.
I mean, people give me crap when I say stuff like Mason Posa might be an All-American, and I'm not backing down from that at all. He was third team All Big Ten, and he played in four games. So yeah, he's going to be an All Big Ten guy, and I think he absolutely has the ability to be an All-American. In the interest of time, and of course, Nick has a dinner coming up with his lady, so we're going to move on to the secondary.
Parents, I can be a little late to them.
we can lump it.
She already said yes. Together. He's good.
I want to talk about cornerbacks and safeties together, just because kind of like we did for tight ends. Let's talk about the secondary in general, Nick. So obviously, you know, we've got a lot of new guys in that room. I do want you to talk about Marvin Burks. His name I haven't heard a ton of this week, so I want to kind of get your thoughts on him. Heard a lot of good things about Van Dinter, heard a lot of good things about Fletcher and some of the cornerbacks. What's your take on that room in general?
Yeah, I mean, if I can talk secondary, like you said, Rajiv, frankly, the room in general is just a lot of fun, to be quite honest, in terms of you can see the elevations in athleticism, I think just more bodies that you can trust and really throw out there. So I'll start with the safeties, like you mentioned, Van Dinter. I love that you said that, Rajiv. I think he's got a real chance to play. I mean, he's faster. I remembered him at Iowa State camp getting that offer in terms of just being a dog, you know, in terms of physicality. But he's always had the speed, this athleticism. They like him. He's also been playing gunner. Marvin Burks, I just think, yeah, I mean, I haven't found myself you know, writing about him a ton, but I think it's probably because he isn't being tested a lot, if that makes sense. Like, when you hear the way that the coaches and his peers, which is always very, very evident, speak about him, he's certainly a very legit player. And we saw that in the spring. But you're exactly right. I've probably only mentioned him, like, yeah, twice in 4 or 5 days because I haven't seen a lot of balls thrown his way. You know, he's come up and, of course, can play in the run. But the linebackers often get there first, too. So I think that's an interesting one. But if I could just give you – if you made me say one thing about the entire team throughout the first week, I just think it's taken a huge jump, guys, in the secondary as a whole, but especially the corners. I mean, I'm seeing, like, true battle right now between Jahmyr Scott and Eric Fletcher. I think I'd trust either of those guys on a 3rd and 6 in the red zone. From what we've seen, okay, it obviously has to translate, but they're going at it. You do know what you have in Javon Robinson. Kai Bates seems to be battling, really, Justin, not in terms of battling, but maybe backing up more so Robinson on the boundary. Of course, he'll be in the mix. Bryce West, I'm telling you guys, I'm not sure. There's a player, certainly maybe not a new player, that is more well-liked within the team and his peers. He just seems to be really doing his job, everything that he needs to do. I love how physical he is. Reason to be excited, Rajiv, if people still needed it, the secondary's trending up.
Love to hear it. Justin, your thoughts?
Yeah, and I'm going to kind of dovetail on this a little bit with Honchel's question here. Are they up on the line? How physical are they? I know one of the things that they talked about coming into this is that they wanted to play far more man this year. I do think that you have a lot more flexibility with the athletic talent in that room. It sounds like everyone's been pretty darn good. Like, there hasn't been anyone that I've heard that's been getting exposed so far in practice. And I think that that's the big thing. Like, we talk about the passing, but I haven't heard about anybody really getting deep and loose in any of these practices, which speaks, number one, to the corners, but also speaks to the safeties, that they're not letting people get over the top of them. And when it is, it's contested every time. So I think we feel pretty darn good about the top four at corner. I think obviously Robinson's the guy who's the most experienced. He's the guy that's the leader with that. But athletically speaking, every one of those guys, and I made the point when we were talking in the Discord, I think every one of those guys is at least a 4 or 5 guy. They can all really run. They all have big frames, minus Robinson, who's a guy who was said to be a 4-4 guy. And you saw that when he was playing against Texas in the playoff game and was running stride for stride with a guy like Golden. So
a good point.
If you have that type of speed and athleticism at corner, it's going to make a difference. And that is something also to take into account when we're talking about our receivers. That's not to say that our receivers are going to be all world, but I do think that they're seeing a more athletic cornerback room than they're going to see in the bulk of the games that they play.
Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling this is, to me, this room, this whole secondary is like the X factor of this team. We know up front we're going to be solid. We know the linebackers are fantastic. This was the area of the defense last year that was suspect. If this has improved to the level that we think it may have, then that's the difference between this defense being good to the defense potentially being elite. And that's how you win 8 or 9 games, when you have an elite defense with a better offense. And look, we know the defense is the strength of our team. We know that. But if the secondary is really this good, if Javon Robinson and Kai Bates and Fletcher and Scott and these guys can make plays, and Van Dinter with his speed, man, the sky's kind of the limit for this defense. And that's the thing that I'm most looking forward to. And it's obviously the great unknown, the defense we don't really know, with the secondary specifically. I'm excited to see what they can do to start off against one of the most talented teams in the country. We're very quickly going to learn about this team. And it's exciting. It's exciting to about the secondary and what can happen from this. Guys, I want to ask each of you, what's the one thing that you are most looking forward to about this week? Like, what's the one thing that you want to read about, ask about, Nick, in your case, see out there? What's that storyline that you're looking most into? Justin, we'll start with you on this one.
Yeah, the first one is going to be, for me, is some of the guys, and we already had one of them return in Shamar Rigby. It will be to hear that Mendel's hopefully cleared and starts doing some things from a team aspect, even if it's just light walkthrough type stuff and gets a little bit more involved. It would be hopefully Haywood is back out there again doing it. And just just making sure that we feel like we're in a good spot from a health standpoint and that they can continue to move forward. And I think the other thing is going to be, I want to continue to hear that you're stacking days with the wide receivers and quarterbacks. I think they had a pretty good first week. And I think, listen, I feel confident that we're going to have a solid to good quarterback room this year. Overall, in terms of what the play will see on the field, I think we're gonna be pleasantly surprised by what we're going to get. I do think the offense is gonna be better. Rajiv and I had our little bet in terms of how many points per game. I broke the numbers down for him. I said 26 points per game would only put us 80th in the country last year. So we better get over that, or I'm not gonna be very happy with what this offense is. But then you got our boy Colton Joseph coming on the Big Ten Network and saying we're gonna score a lot of points this year. So I'm gonna take him at his word. Kid's got to go out there and prove it now if you're gonna say stuff like that. But all right, I like hearing that confidence.
He did say that. I thought that quote was awesome. And yeah, we'll see how. Obviously, they can back it up. Of course, as we say, nearly every appearance on here, Justin, very similar one for me. I thought it was a solid first week for QBs and wide receivers, but I thought it was a really good last day and a half. I think, obviously, if you keep that trajectory going, there can be a lot of confidence instilled. So I think that's what I'm looking for, continued consistency from that QB room. And I'll just say pass catchers in general. But like I said, I mean, I wrote about it extensively. I'm not sure how you would have come away from a day like Sunday and not been encouraged. I do want to know, Justin, a couple guys, I'd say, I think it was a big one from Coleman and then Tyrell Henry. Like, they've created, some space and found some openings at times. Just as we were crediting the secondary, I wanted to make sure mention him for the wideouts as well. And then, maybe just kind of seeing continued pass pressure, because obviously you're not going to actually hit the QBs in these situations. But I feel like Sebastian Cheeks was everywhere. I know that's something our guy Ryan saw on Sunday as well. And if that can be translated to game action, this could go from a good defense to a top 20 to 25 range group.
Go ahead, and Justin. Yeah, one thing I'll say on this to kind of just follow up on that. We didn't really go into it with Clayton. Clayton has been disruptive. So he is somebody that is absolutely going to have a role. And with his speed off the edge, the big thing for him is going to be how strong and physical can he be? Because the speed is already going to play. But he's got to have a counter to just trying to run around somebody on the edge, because you start getting too wide and now you're giving up contain. So with him, it's going to always be how much counter do you have in your bag and are you capable of being able to cut back inside and make plays on the quarterback. The kid can run. He has got a super long body. He is very athletic. And he's like somebody, I think it was put out there earlier this week, he's 245 and he's running a 4.57. That is pretty much elite size and speed off the edge. Like, that's as good as it gets.
All right, we will leave it there for the day. The things I'm looking forward to, no snapping problems, because you don't want to hear me go off on that again. And I would like no fresh injuries, and I would like to hear some really good things about Colton Joseph. I think he's gonna have a fine season, but I'd like there to be a little more excitement about what we're seeing out of him. And that's what happens through camp. The offense tends to get better as camp goes on, right? That's pretty It's understandable. Obviously, the defense is more prepared. They understand what they're seeing. We have a very good defense. There's a lot of good things that are happening. But yeah, I mean, I'm overall very happy. If you're still listening to this, hit that like button. It's super helpful for the show. We've got, again, tons and tons of content coming up. Sorry about the audio problems early on in the show. Hopefully, you got past that and got all the way to when the audio was better. But again, we've got Camp Stock Up, Stock Down, one of our final three shows leading up to the season that Justin and I will do next week. Nick, you're welcome to join us for Camp Stock Up, Stock Down, of course. And then we'll do our preseason superlatives and final camp discussion. And, of course, our ultimate season preview the Sunday before kickoff. And hopefully, if you are going to be in Green Bay, hit us up. Let us know. Email us. Find us on Twitter. Let us know you're going to be there. We'd love to meet as many of you as up there. Justin and I are excited to go to Green Bay. Ryan's going to be there. Nick's going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Nick, always a pleasure to have you join us. Hopefully to see you again next week. Thanks for all the great coverage on 247 from camp. If you are not a subscriber, trust me, it's well worth it. Become a VIP on 247 Sports, badger247.com. You get all the stuff that Nick does and Payne and all the good work that they do over there. We will leave it there. Thanks for joining us. And as always, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin!